Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love, you making it possible so that you, Father, would forgive us in Christ because of the shed blood that you, Jesus, gave on the cross, rising the third day, ascending into heaven, sending your Spirit, Holy Spirit, into our life, making us a transformed people to live differently, but only upon with your strength living in us. As we look to your word now and these ideas that you express to us in Scripture, pray, Lord, that you would help us and guide us. Amen. So you have in your listening guide the great big idea. The great big idea. And this is the great big idea of the Bible, the entire Bible. From the first chapter of Genesis to the last chapter of Revelation, the great big huge idea is reconciliation with God, vertical, and with one another. With God, with one another. God could have chosen many ways for Jesus to die sacrificially. And it was in that context in the Roman culture that he went to a cross, of course. But what a stark reminder for me anyway, maybe you, that the cross, vertical, reconciliation, horizontal, reconciliation. It's just a reminder of you look at the cross, vertical, horizontal, all of that's going on together. That's the great big idea. The big story of Scripture is this. God created the world, right? In the beginning. Well, before the beginning was God, but in the beginning, God. And what God did was create human beings, and sin came into the world. We won't recap the whole story today. Sin comes into the world, creates a separation, that sin, between human beings and God. Now, the whole rest of history, all of history, the entirety of history, whatever civilization we're talking about, the entirety of history is reconciliation, getting back to that. Every major world religion has attempts to give an answer for how that will transpire. Of course, Christianity has the only logical, reasonable answer for it, but reconciliation with the God of heaven. We come to Jesus Christ and it's on full display. God's mercy, God's glory. God's mercy and glory is in the Old Testament, but it's on full display with Jesus Christ, showing us that we can be reunited. It's back to Genesis once again through Jesus. That sin issue that separated us, remember, because God's holy and His domain is holy, and if we take our sin into a holy place, it's no longer holy. So we can't be there unless this is dealt with. Jesus comes, dies for our sins. God looks at you, says, "Oh, my beautiful son, oh, my beautiful daughter," sees Jesus in you, says, "Come, stay with me." Reconciled with God. Reconciliation. That's why Paul says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of the church. It's not the children's ministry. It's not the preaching ministry. It's not the singing ministry. It's not the administration ministry. All of that is important. All of that is compiled for the ministry of reconciliation. That's the great, big, huge idea. Remember I said earlier, previously, that God is highly concerned with your soul. That's what's on God's mind. Why is this so difficult in my life? We ask ourselves, I do anyway, why is this so difficult? It's about reconciliation with God. So that's a great, big, huge idea. We want to never want to lose that. Let's just look at some of these scriptures. Luke 6, 36 through 38, coming from last week. "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you." Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. That's why it's hard, because the word must is in there. Ephesians 4, 31, 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So these are a few central passages. There are others, of course, many that talk about, point to the issue of forgiveness. But Scripture very plainly calls us to forgive one another. A very difficult thing. Very, very difficult. There's another big concept that it helps us to understand is the idea of adoption. We really haven't talked about that in Luke. Paul talks a lot about that. But we are adopted into God's family, His spiritual family. It's another big idea. All people are creations of God. And all people are loved by God. No matter where they are in this world, no matter when they have lived, people are loved by God. He loves this world. But the Bible says that those who received Jesus Christ, He gave the right to be called a child of God. John 1:12. Those who received Jesus gave the right to be called a child of God. So what does that mean? That could be confusing, right? I thought God loves everybody. He does love everyone. But when He adopts you into His family, you are just like a child adopted in a home, perhaps in a community. That child is adopted into the home. It doesn't mean that family does not love cousins and nieces and nephews. But it's a unique relationship adopted into the spiritual family of God. God loves you, and we know that through the Scriptures that God works in us, right? We talk about that a lot here at Gate Tree, that God works in us to mold us into Christ's likeness, and that's love. God knows that the more we're like Jesus, the better for us, and He works in us. We are in God's unique spiritual family. Again, John 1:12. So that's very helpful for us to understand God's forgiveness, and we'll see that hopefully in just a few more minutes. Forgiveness defined. Well, forgiveness, to forgive is a verb, and I mentioned briefly last week that to forgive is to release. You release something or someone. To forgive is to release. So this whole idea of forgiveness is that we would be releasing someone from an obligation, or releasing someone from a wrongdoing, releasing someone from a debt that they owe you. And we'll see how that works out with God and in the mind of God. Just some foundations here, okay? This is a two-parter, by the way. Next week we'll look some more at forgiveness, but today we want to look at just some foundational theological framework for us to understand how God's working. Forgiveness, if it was defined by Scripture, we could look at some Scriptures and gain a picture of what forgiveness is. Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Notice, I will repay. So one of the dimensions of forgiveness is resisting revenge. And that may be the hardest one, right? Maybe it's just me. But that's very hard, because we want revenge. And Scripture explicitly says that's God's business, not your business. Where we arrive at dysfunction in our life, mark it down. Dysfunction here, is when we take on God's business. God says, this is my business. That's not your business. And you say, I say, no, it is my business. Because I don't think you can take the revenge out, God, like I can, because I'm pretty good at that. In fact, I've had 30 years practice. I've had 40 years practice. In fact, I've had 50 years. I've polished that revenge thing up. It's real pretty. I'm good at it, and a lot better than you are because you're all about love and all of that. And do you know what they did to me? God says, that's not your business. That's my business. And so, but we take God's business from Him and do it, and then we wonder why we can't sleep at night. And we wonder why we're really down. And we really wonder why we can't get along with people. Well, we might start with the idea, the things that God says is God's business, just let that be His business. That's very hard now. I'm not saying it's simple, right? Because our hearts, I'm talking about, the Scriptures talk about little things. If somebody steps on your toe, it's better just to overlook an offense, right? In Proverbs, just to overlook the offense. But we're not talking about somebody stepping on your toe, you know. I remember someone speaking from a pulpit one time, talking about husband and wife relationships and how they really get after it. And he's like, well, if she burns the bacon, da-da-da-da-da. And I thought, how trite. I've never met with any men or women that are going to about kill each other over burnt bacon. It's a lot deeper than that. So I'm not talking about like you know, some burnt bacon. It's just better to overlook the offense. But somebody that really hurts you, let's look to God and get some help. And one of the helps, resist revenge. Now that's where we need the Holy Spirit's help. That's why people need to be saved, because we can't do that as human beings because we're broken and we want to take out revenge. We need the Holy Spirit in us to handle things differently in us. That's salvation. The Lord is my salvation. He's going to save me from being a vengeful person. Nobody wants to hang out with vengeful people anyway. Secondly, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So seek to do good. Wow, how hard is that? Don't seek to do them harm. Do you know how much they've hurt me? Don't seek to do other people harm, because revenge, getting back at people, is God's business. No one gets off the hook with God. That's God's, but He's omniscient. He knows much more than you. He knows a lot more than you and I do. He's a lot better at it. He knows all of the recesses, the things that look real pretty to you about that person. He knows all about that. So just leave that up to Him. Don't seek to do them harm. Wish them well. Luke 6:28. Are you kidding me, God? Are you, wish them well? Are you, bless those who curse you. See, that's not burnt bacon. That's curse you. Get up in your face and tell you what they really think. Or they may be more manipulative than that and a little smoother than that. They may not get up right up in your face, but you would prefer that they got up in your face because they're so good at the manipulation. You just say, just give it to me, straight on, face to face. Would you do that? But there's those who curse you, what's it say? Bless them. Speak good words about them. That doesn't mean there's not plenty to say that's bad. It's for your own heart. Bless them. Remember the fundamental assumption. God's highly concerned about our soul. Boy, we say those dirty words, and we see those mean words, and we just pile it on, and we just pile it on. That anger rides up there. It just piles up in our heart. It just piles up. You know what I'm talking about. It just gets deeper, and it gets deeper, and we get real comfortable with it. Then it's not a shock to be angry. You know, she's just an angry person. That's just the way she is. It doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be like that. But, so that's one aspect of it. Grieve at their calamities. Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Pray for them. Matthew 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Yeah. Talked about that a couple weeks ago. That's in Luke 2 also. Seek reconciliation. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It's our responsibility to be at peace. So far as it depends on you. Someone says, well, Pastor, they don't want to. I had a guy tell me that in Kenya, face to face. He says, I know a man in Western Kenya, he does not want to. He doesn't want to. What's the verse says? So far as it depends on you. But when I call him, he hangs up. You tried. You can't go out there and make him hold the phone to his ear. But so far as it depends on you, make some kind of effort to be at peace. Now, this doesn't mean that in your discernment, in your evaluation, you might decide, you know, it's just kind of better you go your way and I go my way. That happens, right? But we can do that and carry anger and bitterness and resentment and hatred for the rest of our life over that situation. Or we can, as far as it depends on us, be at peace and then go ahead and be at peace and move on. And we'll see this, but we may evaluate and determine it's not so healthy for me to be there. And so I'm going to make the decision to go here, but that's different from harboring that anger and that resentment. We'll see more of this. So number one. God's judicial forgiveness. This is the way some Bible students and theologians talk about this. God's judicial forgiveness. This is the vertical. Judicial. See, the Bible uses language, the Bible uses courtroom kind of language. God's the judge. Right? There's a penalty to pay. Because we aren't the first ones to come up with that idea. Other civilizations, people before us, 2,000 years and before, had that kind of idea that someone who did an offense, someone who killed someone in the community or they stole something in the community, would have to come and they would have to answer for themselves. But the Bible talks about God as the judge. It's this judicial idea, official, courtroom, legal. And so God's judicial forgiveness is something we're mindful of, just in forgiveness, all of it together. It's very hard to get to the other kind of forgiveness if that forgiveness is not in place. So, first thing is the person saved? Are they a Christian? Paul's writing to people in conflict within churches in these letters. Because people outside the church, outside of Christ, it's understood, it's not surprising. They're in conflict all the time. They're unforgiving all the time. They're murderous. They're vengeful. They're gossips. They slander. That's how they operate. But Paul is saying, you operate differently because you're in Christ. You live differently. But that, as we've touched on, is hard to do if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. If you don't have God to help you, then if that vertical forgiveness is not there, then it's very, very difficult to move forward, right? With the principles that are being talked about. So this vertical forgiveness means that we are released from God's retribution, from God's wrath. Remember the gospel? That the wages of sin is death? And so God receives us, and what does God do? Your debt that you owe God, it's death. Spiritual death, and you remember how I explained it. That's separation from the goodness of God. It doesn't mean your soul is annihilated. It continues on. But you're separated from the goodness of God. You're not separated from God because God is, theologians, omnipresent. There's never any place that God is not. So it's not that we're separated from God. We're separated from the goodness of God. But He releases that debt. Says, come in. Be in my family. I want you to experience goodness. That's the judicial forgiveness. The second one is God's parental forgiveness. Now, once you become a child of God, and He's your spiritual father, He deals with you like a spiritual father, a good, good father. And a good, good father will discipline his children when they need discipline, and he will also forgive them and release them of that discipline when the time is right. Why is this important? Because Luke says and Matthew says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Wait a minute, preacher. You told me my salvation was secure. I grew up all of my life. My salvation is, it sounds to me like my forgiveness is not secure there. Your judicial forgiveness is not in view. You are forgiven permanently. Your horizontal forgiveness is in view. Your parental forgiveness. If you and I decide that we're going to be an unforgiving kind of child, you can just imagine in your own household, I'm just going to be an unforgiving child. That's just the way I'm going to be. My sister is that way. That's just the way it's going to be. Your parents are going to deal with that. Right? You're going to deal with that. And they say, okay, Mom, okay, Dad, I know, I shouldn't have pulled her hair. I'm sorry, sis. Shouldn't have done that. Okay. We will no longer extend our parental judgment on you. We'll release you of that, and we'll go on and live life together and go to Disneyland and have fun. But if you insist on doing that, you're going to do that again, then there's going to be some discipline. So, forgive. If you want God to forgive you just in your Christian walk, then we are called to forgive other people and model that in our life, but we're actually supposed to forgive them too. Or we just have to live with the Lord's discipline, the Lord's unhappiness. And that's not any fun. So there's this two aspects, this idea of this forgiveness. Now there's an important verse I put in your listening guide, 1 John 1:9. Now, there's a word in there that's very important for us to understand on the issue of forgiveness. The word confess. Do you remember it from that? You might remember in Romans, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Do you remember that verse? If you confess with your mouth and believe with your... And this one, it says in 1 John... If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. That's right. But where we mix it up now, just kind of culturally, we mix it up. We insert the word admit. Admit. You could just take in your Bibles and A-D-M-I-T. If you admit your sin, He is faithful and just, that's not what it means. It's a very important word. Do your word studies at home. You will be thoroughly enlightened. I was thoroughly enlightened on the word confess. Just, it's like almost like the heavens opened. To confess means to be in agreement with God. Which God dislikes our sin. Putrid to Him. And it means that we have the same attitude as God has about that sin. See, I can admit my sin and not have the same attitude about it that God does. I can admit that I hurt you, but I might not have the same attitude about it. I can admit, I can see it. I hurt you. Okay, I'm sorry. You deserved it, but I'm sorry. That is not confession. That is not what the confession means to be in agreement with God. So what's the Romans passage? What's that mean for us in Romans? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if you are in agreement with God about your sin situation and that without Jesus you spend eternity in separation, and you believe in your heart all of who you are, you'll be saved. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that you just admit something. If you confess with your mouth, if we confess our sins, if we're in agreement with God about our sin, how we hurt another person and how Jesus died so that other person would be a brother and sister in Christ, and they're made in the image of God, and how ugly for a person to talk about that person that way, how ugly to be a manipulator and angle on things like that and try to hurt that person, how ugly to try to force a person in a direction that they don't want to go, and all of that type of thing. If you can just say, how ugly that is with God, how thoroughly sickening it is with God, that's confession. And He will forgive you your sin. Do your word study. The heavens will open. It is not an admission of guilt. That's easy. To see it and believe it, understand it from God's perspective, and to receive it is confession. Millions of Christians walking around have no idea what the word means. If I just admit my sin, I'm good with God. No. It's deeper than that. It's deeper, and it's going to take you a place higher. It's a beautiful, it's one of those words like agape. It's a beautiful word. So anyway, confess. 3, this forgiveness that the Bible describes does not demand, it's not the absence of consequences. I touched on this last week. Look, David's child died, right? The consequences of his sin. Here's the problem we have with forgiveness is we're afraid they're going to escape the consequences. They deserve it, what's coming to them. When you release them from controlling your heart, it doesn't mean they escape consequences. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means you're not going to let them control your life. David had to face consequences. Moses didn't get to enter the promised land. There's consequences. No one's erasing that. So see, we sometimes are fearful, right? If I forgive them, they should pay for what they did to me. No, maybe, maybe not. But maybe, that's another question. We're not erasing that. God's highly concerned about your heart, your soul. You are a beautiful child of God, and if we do not release some of these things, we will be ugly. A heart ugly person. So, doesn't demand, we just have to understand, doesn't mean that the consequences should not be in place. 4, so sin, there's this debt that is created. I touched on it a moment ago. When you and I sin against God, we create a debt. It has to be paid. Jesus came and paid the price. We sing the song. Jesus paid it all. We sing the song. Yeah, right. It's because there's a debt that was paid, that was incurred, and it needed to be released, and He paid it. And it was very, very, very costly. It was very costly. Now, the apostle says, Colossians 3, forgiving others as the Lord has forgiven you. Ephesians 4, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. What's that tell you about your forgiveness? If you want to embark on this road, And you have a choice. If you want to embark on this road of forgiveness, they may have hurt you 30 years ago, they may have hurt you this week. It will be, not maybe, it will be costly. It will cost you something. We are concerned that it should cost them. Well, now that's God's business, revenge. It will cost you. Forgiving others as God in Christ, as God in Christ forgave you. There was a great, big, huge, painful cost, and it's going to be very painful and very difficult, and it's going to hurt to forgive somebody. And see, that's what happens to us. And when we don't, we say, no, I've already been hurt. I'm not going to do that. Okay. That's the way the world looks at it, but biblical forgiveness teaches us that no, you're going to lay your life down. It's going to cost you. That doesn't mean that they're right. Not at all. It means it's going to cost you. This is something that's it's going to be painful for you to do that act. Of course, it's going to release you and all sorts of benefits, but it's going to be painful. It's not easy. Now, this helps me because a debt has to be paid. Jesus paid my debt. Now, how is the debt that other person incurred, how is that going to be dealt with? Two ways. You're going to take payments, or you're going to make payments. That's it. We see it every week in the news, right? Person offends me. Just walking by, somebody walking out, and they're in the mall down here. They're walking out of a store, just walking along, boom, take a payment. I feel better. I took a deposit. I feel better. Now, of course, Christians would never do such a thing. But I don't know, in some places they talk real ugly about people. I'm just going to take me a payment. I'm going to talk real ugly about you. That's a payment. And that runs out like any other payment, and I need another one. Next week, I'll just create a new word. I'll take a payment from that person. And you'll keep taking payments. It's human nature. You will keep taking payments. You will be that kind of person. God doesn't want you to be that kind of person. Look, God wants the best for you. You have a beautiful life in front of you, but if you're not careful, if you're harboring unforgiveness, whether it's a long time ago or recent, if you're the kind of person that takes those payments in bitterness, in anger, in resentment, you're going to take the payment. But the flow of satisfaction, you never get filled. You just have to be the kind of person that keeps taking those payments. And when you can't get them from somebody else, you'll just do it to yourself. You heard of cutters? Yeah. You just do it because you can't get enough payment from somebody else. Some people just hurt themselves because they're so angry, they're so bitter, they never released their unforgiveness, that somebody's got to pay. And no longer, just like any addict, no longer, I can no longer get my satisfaction from this man over here. I got to get it from somebody, so I'll just lash out, and I'll be mean to the people in the office. Oh, well, that felt good. And then I'll be mean to the people at home. Oh, that felt even better. And then I can be 1, 2, 3. I'll multiply. You can see it just gets bigger and bigger. You know people like this. You know. You may have them in your own family. It never. So we're either going to take payments, or either you're going to make a payment, bless, not curse. You're going to make a payment. I'm going to let God deal with the revenge. I'm not going to be the one. The jails are filled with people, prisons are filled with people that took the revenge. Filled with young men that took the revenge. Made the great, great mistake. Ruined their life. You will be a person that either makes the payments or takes the payments. So I included a caution. Unattended unforgiveness will harden. It's not may harden. It will harden. And it turns victims into victimizers. You want to deal with it? I want to. I told you this was difficult, right? It's hard. All of us agree that. It's a hard thing. But we want to deal with it. Otherwise, the victim becomes the victimizer. World filled with this. World filled with those who inflict pain on other people, growing out of their own unforgiveness. So this creates a debt that must be paid. We quickly have to rush to the end here. Biblical forgiveness is a choice. I'm talking about something that's empowering to you. If you're in a place where you have unforgiveness, hear and see the beauty of this. Take control of your own life. No longer be living at the whims and the influences of other people. Take control of your own life. Now, God says, He doesn't say in Scripture. Scripture nowhere says that God forgets. You know, in the way that we think of forgetting, that God just, someday God woke up and He forgot. God is omniscient. God does not forget. God chooses to remember their sins no more. Hear that? That's empowering. Now, if you were to forgive as God forgives, you're making the choice, I'm going to choose to remember your sins no more. Because when we sit at home and we drink that tea, cup of tea, and we have a graham cracker, and we remember and remember and remember their sins that they inflicted against us, they're controlling our heart. And they're living 3,000 miles away. You can make the choice. Under the power of the Spirit, you can make the choice. I'm going to have an attitude of forgiveness towards you. I'm going to release you from having that control on me. So, it's a choice. It's an act of your will. Where we get mixed up, and our culture will teach us this, that when you forgive somebody, it's weakness. Listen, my friends, honestly, when you forgive somebody, you're showing strength. Does God show weakness? No. He shows strength. He's doing something no other God can do. All of the false gods cannot do it. He's showing His strength. Forgiving others as God in Christ forgave you, you're showing your strength. You're like Jesus. It's not a weakness. I used to think it was a weakness. Maybe you do. Maybe you have thought that in the past. To forgive somebody, to just let them go, let them get off the hook with all that? No. No way. It's strength. It's the right kind of strength. Kicking and punching with words or fists is the wrong demonstration of strength. It's a strength of the soul. It's empowering. It's your choice. It doesn't depend on the other person. It doesn't depend on forgetting. The person says, I just don't know when I'm going to forget this, what they did to me. And some of the things, some of you in this room have been hurt very deeply. It's your choice. God says, I will remember their sins no more. We hurt God very deeply. It's your choice. It's very empowering. It hurts when somebody takes 5 years of your life. It hurts to committed 15 years. And what? You just wasted 15 years of my life, and this is what I get from you? That's a deep cut. Because you don't get it back. We have the choice in Christ to say, you know what? I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation in Christ. That's the gospel truth. That's who I am. I am no longer going to let that memory and my hatred for you control my life. I choose to remember it no more. It's not that you don't forget it. You may, but very likely not. But it's not contingent upon that. And how liberating, how freeing is that? Forgiveness has a fourfold promise. Here they are. Coming out of the Peacemaker, Ken Sandy's book. If you don't have that book, everybody should have it on their shelf at home. Just The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. He just summarizes some of these biblical principles very well. I will not bring it up to myself or dwell on this offense. I will not bring up this offense again and use it against you. I will not bring it up to others and gossip and hurt you because of it. I will not let this offense stand between us or hinder our relationship. It's a promise. There's a promise that when we forgive someone, I'm issuing this promise. That adds flesh on, that adds some perspective on what forgiveness is. And finally, for today, not finally, number 7, forgiveness does not mean that we will allow people to continue to hurt us. It doesn't mean that. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid that other people will continue it and hit. No. Look, that's not the picture at all. We're to confront people in godly ways, right? We're to speak the truth in love. Confronting them in godly ways, and the Scripture lays that out. The only way they'll pay attention is Romans 13. They'll only pay attention to Caesar. But we're to confront in godly ways. We're not to take that revenge ourselves. And finally, forgiveness can take place when trust is not yet wise. I don't know about you, but that's very helpful for me. Because when we think we forgive, when we approach forgiveness, we think to ourselves, well, I can't trust that person. You know what they did to me? What are you saying? You're right. You're right. It's not that you're wrong. Forgiveness is freely given. Trust is earned. And it may take a good while for someone to earn your trust. After you've been hurt, your discernment radar goes up. I forgive that person because Jesus tells me I have to forgive. I have to release that. But you know what? That trust is going to have to be built. It's going to take some time to trust. That's part of the package. That's part of the package. Trust being built. It may not be wise to go back into whatever situation that is. Right. That doesn't mean you can't carry the attitude of forgiveness, and we'll look some more at that next week. Very powerful. If you have a friend that maybe is struggling with this, maybe invite them next week, and we'll think more about forgiveness, and then we'll move on in Luke chapter 7. But God wants our lives to flourish, and we can harbor unforgiveness for a long time. deep hurt for a long time. There are some ways that we can release it. Mainly, we can take control of our own lives with the help of the Holy Spirit, live in a different way. Living no longer for ourselves, but living for Him who came to die on our behalf. Yeah, that changes the perspective entirely. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, help us to be forgivers. It's very hard, Lord. It's very hard when I think of some of the ways your people have been hurt. It's very hard, Lord, for them to forgive, for us to forgive when we see what happens, not only here in Gate Tree, but in other places in our community and in our world. But help us hold each other up in this way. Help us to forgive. Help us to be a reconciling people. We need your help to do that. Help us to release others from the control of our own heart, Lord. As your people go out from this place today, Lord, give them safety. Give them lots of opportunity to laugh. Give them opportunities to love one another, agape love, serving one another. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word, your scriptures. And as we look into it, teach each one of us where we need it today, this week. I see these faces, Lord. I pray that you would just surround each one and give them great comfort, great care, mercy, and joy this week. I pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.